And a lot of them you get over by facing them. I always tell people who have a fear of public speaking. I had a fear of public speaking for many years, couldn't speak. One time I was more or less compromised into having to speak in front of an audience, and I was really quite anxious. And then suddenly I said something funny. Something funny came to mind, and I just said whatever it was, and it was funny. And the minute the audience started to laugh, my fear disappeared. So I made the magic discovery, and I have spoken hundreds of times since then. And that was because I discovered that humor relieves all anxiety. So putting something funny in what you're saying, if it can be accomplished, will relieve your fear. The minute the audience laughs, you feel okay. That's sort of a magical moment, that discovery. I discovered it by accident. And so some degree of humor makes it more interesting. It certainly makes it more comfortable for the speaker. If there's sufficient danger in the environment, as we said, fear is a rational survival technique. What we're talking about is fears that have no basis in reality, and overcoming them takes a certain degree of courage and a willingness to plunge into them. I think the average person doesn't have any trouble differentiating the two. And like any feeling, if you stop avoiding it and plunge into it and say, I want more of it, and let it run its course, you will eventually run it out. And sometimes you can do this with imagination. You imagine what it is you're afraid of, and you let the fear come up, and you let go resisting the fear. Well, there's a limitation to the amount of any emotion. And if you keep coming up with what you're afraid of, eventually you'll run out of fear, and you'll find it's almost impossible to make yourself afraid of the next thing that you bring up to be afraid of. So you can run out an emotion by letting go resisting it, and you decompress it. So I call it decompress it. Then you say, what else are you afraid of? And what else are you afraid of? Until finally you run out. You really run out of things that you can imagine yourself being afraid of. Being eaten by a tiger, you know? So one thing you can control is focus. And you can think about your toes. If I tell somebody, when you go up on that speaking in front of the podium, I want you to think about your toes while you're there. Well, if you try that, you'll find out you can't be afraid because you're too busy thinking about your toes. And eventually that makes you laugh. And the minute you laugh, your fear disappears anyways. Think about your toes. Once in a while, I want to give a lecture. There's some authors' names I always forget. So I pictured them as being written on top of my toes. And when I can't think of it during the lecture, I looked down at my toes and suddenly I got it. Rupert Sheldrake. I always forget his name in the middle of a lecture. I put Rupert Sheldrake across the top of my toes. And if I can't think of it in the middle of a lecture, I look down at my toes and I get it. Formative causation. Rupert Sheldrake has to do with formative causation. I've done this many times with people who have a speaking phobia and have them practice at home and then practice with me and then practice some of the techniques that I have just described. That's probably the most common one I've gotten a request for in the past was speaking phobias. People who may be famous writers and famous in other areas but have certain phobias. So I take them through the whole experience to imagine it and to keep letting go until finally they run out the fear. You'll run out of fear. There's only so much fear that's compressed, so you can run it out. Because people have sort of a, like poking a place in your body that's sore. You ask yourself to stop doing that and distract yourself with a more positive kind of a way of discharging nervous energy. If you have a fear of something, you use what I say is, and then what? And then you keep surrendering each level. So you say, well, if I lose this job, then I won't have enough money to live on. Then you say, and then what? And if I don't have enough money to live on, then I'll lose my house. And you say, and then what? Well, if I lose my house, then I got to rent an apartment somewhere. You say, and then what? And then if I don't have any money at all, I'll have to move out of the apartment too. And you say, and then what? I won't have enough money to buy food. And you say, and then what? And then I'll starve to death. You think to yourself, how are you going to do that? Are you going to sit on the sidewalk and starve to death? No. And then what? And then I'll get a tin cup and hold it up and beg for money. And then what? And then people will laugh at me as an idiot sitting out there with a tin cup. And then what? And then the cops will come and take me away. And then what? They'll decide I'm crazy. And then what? And then they'll put me in a mental hospital. And then what? And then I'll have a psychiatrist. Who... So you keep doing the and then what? And as you surrender to the and then what, you disappear it into absurdity. You disappear it into absurdity. But you do get to the bottom of the fears. I'll be poor and ugly and nobody will like me and nobody will hire me. And you keep going, and then what, until you'll hit a bottom of it, and you finally run out. You run out of, and then what? There's a stack, so you work through the stack. So if it doesn't go well today, then what? Then I'll have wasted coming over here for nothing, and then what? And then I'll be mad at myself, and then what? And then my wife will be annoyed with me, and then what? And then, you know what I mean? Then we wasted all that money on gas, and then what? And then you wasted all that time, and then what? Until you get to the bottom of it. And by the time you get to the bottom of it, you find yourself laughing at it. But then you also realize that these have been fears that have been in the back of your mind. You didn't allow yourself to experience them or think of them because they didn't seem rational at the time. But as you let them go, you realize that, yes, they've been there, and they've been there for a long time.